Hello, Space Watchers, and welcome back to a new episode of Space Cafe Radio. I'm Emma Gatti, contributing editor at Space Watch Global, and today we're going to go back on Mars. This is the second episode of our coverage of the Amadi 20 mission, which started on the 4th of October. Amadi 20 is a Mars analog simulation based in the Negev Desert in Israel. The mission is managed by the Austrian Space Forum and hosted by the Israeli Space Agency. Our guests today are Alex De Carvalho and Annabel Militz, the team lead and a psychologist of the Human Factors team. The Human Factors team is part of the flight control team of the Amadi 20 mission based in Innsbruck. Alex has been part of the Human Factors team since 2015 and has led three missions since, while Annabel is currently a master's student writing a thesis on a psychological project for the mission. Alex, Annabel, welcome to Space Cafe Radio and thank you for being with us today. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So we're back on Mars. The analog astronauts have been seated from the 11th of October, so it has been 2 weeks. How is the mood of the crew so far? What's going on?
Yeah, so what's going on? So what we receive as messages is that the crew is doing quite well. So we have a good selected crew, which is like able to perform all the experiments, which is healthy. This is like the most important aspect for us. Of course, we see that people from time to time get a little bit more tired or also like have a little bit of stress of coping with the difficult environment. But this is something we always take into account when we send people to Mars. And so far, we are happy about our crew and we always communicating with them and try to support them.
This whole experiment to me reminds me a lot about a very famous episode of Space Force, the fourth episode of the first series. The main character goes to visit a moon simulation base and finds out that the crew is extremely grumpy and weird because they've been in isolation in a small enclosed space for too long. So I'm glad to hear they're not so bad. They're doing quite good. But can you tell me something about the Martian daily routine? How does the daily schedule develop?
So there we have Annabel. Maybe you want to take this one because Annabel is the entire month in Innsbruck and she's really following the mission from the very first to the very last day. I think you have the great insight there.
Go, Annabel.
Yes, the analog astronauts get up quite early in the morning at 5:30 usually. And then they get up, have breakfast, and then they start the donning. So there's always one analog astronaut going out with a suit, and the donning takes quite some time, so they have to start early so they can get out early because otherwise it will be too hot in Israel. So the EVA, so the going out of the habitat, starts around 10 a.m. in the morning. And while the analog astronaut is outside, the other ones inside monitor him and do other tasks, preparations for other experiments. When the analog astronaut who was outside is back, they start the doffing, so they take the suit off, etc. Then they have some lunch, of course. And in the afternoon, there are some experiments, some experiment preparations or some experiments that can be done inside. They also have some leisure time in the afternoon. And in the evening, they continue with some questionnaires usually or some other stuff that needs to be done. Also housekeeping duties, whatever has to be done. And yes, in the evening, they can, of course, also have some leisure time or finish stuff, prepare for the next day, and then they go to sleep.
And just to clarify, EVA stands for?
Extravehicular activity. The term Perfect. Is used like in space where you are outside the vehicle. So here we have no vehicle, but the habitat, which is, like Perfect. The analog situation.
So when you see leisure activities, can you tell us more about that? Because for me, leisure activities, going to a restaurant or watching Netflix, and that's not going to happen on Mars. Can you give me more of detail? What do you actually do to entertain them?
Of course, they cannot go to a restaurant. They will spend the entire time in the habitat. And this is also the challenge. So we have people who are at work, and then when they leave work, they are still at their working situations. So we must be very creative to allow them to have leisure time. They bring a lot of games. They cook their dinner together. This is also super important, like cooking or eating as a social event where the group can bond like on a more private level. They have the possibility to watch movies or to play a game, like also an online game or something like that, to tell stories. And of course, from Earth, we try always to give them as well some ideas or some hints what they could do. But of course, that's a challenge that you do not still continue working, but you really take that time off. And this is why in this mission, we have a flight plan. So this is a schedule for their day. And there we also put leisure time in it. So the people really are motivated to stop being on a mission or being on a working mission, but to take the day off.
Okay, I'm going to ask the question everyone wants to ask. Is beer allowed?
Yeah, it depends. So what, of course, we never recommend is that we have completely drunk astronaut, because it's also like a safety wise reason. Yeah, it's wise. It's also a safety thing. If something happens, of course, we need to be have people there to that can, I don't know, support people when they have a bad medical condition. Let's say we, of course, do not allow people to drink and be very drunk before like EVAs or experiments. But of course, like in that kind of constellation, they have maybe a little bit of alcohol there. But if you look like in real missions, we must be very careful on that, because of course there can always be an emergency. If you like are on ISS or something, there can always be an emergency and you must be aware and react accordingly. Yeah.
You can't get wasted in Mars.
No.
Do you guys monitor them continuously? How does it work?
Yeah, so we have an online monitoring, so they get every day the same questions about, I don't know, sleep, attention, how do they feel, the mood, and they can click through these questions. So we get like from Mars, but also from the team on Earth, we get a feedback how they are doing. And we also track their sleeping hours. We track if they think they did a lot of mistakes, stuff like that. And this allows us through the entire mission to have an assessment of their status and that we also see the changes. And we can react accordingly then.
And let's talk about the experiments. Like among all the more classic engineer and geological experiments, Amadei is running a series of human, medical and psychological experiments to test the mind responses of the crew. And this is extremely interesting. Could you give us some details about this experiment?
As you said, there are quite a lot of psychological experiments as well. It's important because if we find out now on Earth what psychological difficulties can evolve during a mission or what stressors are there, then we can try to find out how to react to this and be prepared for it for future real Mars missions. So my experiment for my master thesis is about the relationship between the team on Mars and the team on Earth. How do they feel towards each other? How close do they feel? How connected do they feel? And this is important because if they feel disconnected, the people on Mars might start to take their own decisions, which is sometimes good, but sometimes it's also dangerous because maybe they don't know about all circumstances or maybe they don't have all the information that Earth has. It's important that they communicate well and to ensure that we need a good relationship between these two teams. So my master thesis is about finding out how the relationship develops over the course of the mission.
I got to ask now, how is it going? What are you observing?
I didn't analyze my data yet, so that will be done after the mission. Yeah, unfortunately. So of course, it's also difficult to tell about one mission. It's also about trying to find out how we can monitor that. So my master thesis is not only about finding out how these teams in this mission feel, but also about finding out how can we monitor that in future? Can we see it from the chat that the people are using or stuff like that?
Alex, you were just about to add something.
Yes, this is completely true. We really tried to also develop the methods, like how can we supervise the people when they are far away? Because this is a challenge. We cannot just give them a call or use WhatsApp and be like, hey, how are you? We need to find different strategies on that. And also, we need to find out what are typical mechanisms in that kind of missions, how people behave. And what we usually see, though, that's an interesting phenomenon, it's called the third quarter phenomenon, is that after the halftime of the mission, usually the mood's a little bit more depressed or there are a little bit more conflicts. The group autonomy is going to be higher. So the crew on Mars, they take more and more their own decision. And the crew on Earth needs to a little bit of navigate that situation. This is something which we can right now, not from data, but from personal observations, we see that in our missions as well. This is not a process which we can stop. This is, I think, the idea we must get. We cannot stop these processes, but we can learn how can we regulate or how can we deal with that? How can we communicate these observations right away when we have that with the crew? Yeah.
So you observe a wave. They're high, then they get low, and then maybe you're expecting to get a bit higher at the end when they're feeling they're coming home, something like this.
Yes, exactly. So in the beginning, we always have people are highly motivated. It's new. It's the adventure they are taking. And then we have a phase of adaptation. So people have a normal rhythm. It's all going well. People know how to do things. things. And then at the half point of the mission, people are like already tired, of course, because being on a mission is tiring. But then they get this idea, wow, my resources are lower, but I still have so much time to go on. And this is, might be the phase where they are, that everything is a little bit more, yeah, moody, more down. But it's not a catastrophe. We just have to be like aware of that and try to support the team in the situation.
What do you think are the biggest factors that could impact the psychological wellness of the astronauts? And for me, I thought about it. It would be snoring. Like in such a small space, if someone snores, after 2 days, it would drive me over the edge. What would be yours? So what do you think the biggest factors are for the astronauts?
So there are studies on that, what the biggest factors are. And the biggest factor is group cohesion. There were studies in polar regions where they did all kinds of adventures and it was dangerous from the weather conditions, from the environmental conditions. But what the people did complain most about was like the group cohesion. So if the group is not working well, if they do not like each other, if they are not friendly towards each other, people are very stressed by that. And this is why we are so much motivated to select the people which we put in a small space together so that they can really work together. Of course, we have like subsequent effects such as isolation. They do not have a lot of space. We have a lot of physical things also like sleep deprivation, maybe. Maybe the food is not the best, but people can usually deal with that kind of if the team is really sticking together and okay with each other. And for the snoring, we, of course, I can totally relate
to that. It's important.
It's very important. Yes. And this is where, of course, people need their small private places. We also give them small private cabins, but we also recommend them to take, I don't know, earplugs and things like that so that they can distance it a bit.
I wonder if it's the selection parameters from the crew, like, okay, yeah, you're an engineer, you're a physics, scuba diver, whatever. Do you snore or not?
Maybe. Maybe we should add that to the questionnaire.
Just say, I'm just here to help. Okay, Alex, Annabelle, thank you so much for this fantastic insight into the soul of the Amadi 20 mission. This was very interesting. And unfortunately, this is the end of our second episode, but we will be back to talk about Amadi next time because we're going to talk about the astronauts' house. So we're going to actually analyze the station setup and how the astronauts are living inside the station. Alex, I wish you a successful last week on Mars, and Annabelle, all the best for your master thesis. Thank you very much for your time. And I'm really looking forward to hearing back from Mission Control. Thank you, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.